Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in today to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and we are on day two of our Newsworthy Clips article. It is September 15th. We hope that you are having a good day. And in the studio with me is Albert and Linda. Welcome, panelists.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I'm ready for another day of Advanced Radio.
Yesterday, we started off with SpaceX, and we kind of just shot ourselves to the moon. Right? What did we talk about yesterday, Linda?
Well, we were talking about SpaceX's plan to send two private citizens to the moon, or to circle the moon.
Yes, they're not actually going to get out and walk around the moon. That would be cool, but they will fly by the moon, and that's pretty cool, and it's going to cost a lot of money.
Right. Reportedly, anywhere between $58 million up to $80
million. Oh, that's nothing, right?
It's still considered
a problem.
It's still considered a discount compared to what the Russians or NASA was doing or is doing.
Wow. I don't think I need discounts if that's a lot of money.
Well, we actually don't know how much it will cost because that is, you know, one of the details that's not revealed by SpaceX.
Yes, this was extra information that Albert diligently researched and found that bit of information. So we'll see how much it costs, but we know it's going to be expensive, right?
Mm.
Okay, so that's what we talked about yesterday, and talked about how SpaceX has a lot of challenges on its plate. They have a lot going on, and Elon Musk, who is heading things up there at SpaceX, he has lofty goals, very high goals. He even wants to colonize Mars. So, listeners, if you're interested in living on Mars, just wait. Maybe it will happen in your lifetime. We'll see. But today we are switching gears. We are going to talk about sharks, and especially those in this U.S. state of Florida, which is Linda's home state.
Right. Yes, it is. I am from Florida, actually South Florida.
Okay, you're from South Florida, which this is from the Miami Herald. So that's your area, right?
It is. It is the newspaper that I grew up reading.
Okay. Oh. Pretty cool. Well, Florida sharks worth more alive than dead, study finds. That's an interesting title.
Right, because growing up, I have this perception that sharks are dangerous or even monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if anything, you should be afraid of them. In all the movies with sharks, usually they end up killing sharks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But here we're talking about how they are actually worth more alive than dead. So we have to figure out what that means, what this study found. But I know, Linda, I know that you have went diving before, right?
Mm-hmm, I have gone diving, but I've never gone diving in Florida, in my home state.
Oh, so sad.
But maybe I can the next time I'm there. Yeah.
Okay, well, have you ever seen a shark while diving?
I've only seen small sharks, and thankfully, I wasn't in the water at the time.
Was it in an aquarium?
No. From a boat. It was out, you know, in the ocean. But I was on a boat and I could see. And you actually have, you know, much better view. Sometimes when you're in the water, you can't really see what's below.
So how close were you to the shark?
Well, it was just swimming next to the boat. It was a small shark, you know. It wasn't, a huge 2-meter shark.
Did it kind of freak you out?
No, because it was small, you know, and I was in the boat. I didn't feel threatened.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Are you a diver, Albert?
I am not.
Okay.
I'm okay with not getting into the ocean.
Okay.
Yeah, especially if, you know, if sharks are worth more alive than dead, there's probably going to be more sharks in the future.
Yeah, right. I hope so. And I'm not a diver, but I go snorkeling.
Ooh.
Very different. But I have not seen sharks, thank God. Anyways, today we are on page 25. So if you have your electronic device or if you have the magazine, you can follow along. Right now we will have our first reading.
Florida sharks worth more alive than dead, study finds. A live shark swimming through Florida's waters is about 200 times more valuable than a dead shark, a new study has found. The study, commissioned by the nonprofit Oceana in its bid to end the gruesome shark fin trade, found that divers hoping to see sharks produced more than $221 million in revenue for the state of Florida in 2016 and helped supply over 3,700 jobs, compared to just over $1 million generated by the buying and selling of shark fins nationwide. The study, Oceana said, is the first of its kind in the U.S. to try to calculate what conservationists have long argued about many imperiled fish. They're worth far less on a plate than they are in the water. Sharks are in trouble, and one of the reasons they are in trouble is because of the demands for their fins, said Oceana's campaign director, Laura Snyder.
Okay, so we are talking about sharks, and at the beginning we see again a live shark swimming through Florida's waters is about how many times more valuable than a dead one, Albert?
200 times. That is a huge difference.
Have you ever thought about this?
No.
I mean, we think about, you know, shark fins and those being used in soup and so forth, the shark fin soup. And we think, oh, you know, that's very valuable, I guess. A lot of people, you know, want to purchase the shark fins. But when we put it in this context, it makes us stop and think.
Right. And I feel like in my experience, the only time, you know, I feel like shark as food is expensive is like at wedding banquets mm-hmm. or celebrations.
Right.
And that's usually when people buy it in bulk and cook it and, you know, use it to celebrate with everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a delicacy mm-hmm. and it's expensive. So you serve it at, you know, a really important event.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But this is saying they're actually much more valuable. Sharks are much more valuable alive. So why? Well, let's look into the study. There was a study conducted. It was commissioned by this nonprofit organization. And commissioned, it's just talking about a group of people, and they've been appointed to find out some information, right? And so, of course, they're doing a study, so they're trying to discover something. And they're attempting something. It says, in its bid to do something, they're attempting to do something, and what is that?
To end the gruesome shark fin trade.
Okay, and that word gruesome, talking about very unpleasant, right? And so a lot of people see this shark fin trade as something that is awful or terrible, and so they want to put an end to that.
Right, and I find it such a like good choice of word here, because I usually associate gruesome with sharks or shark attacks, right?
Mm-hmm. With murder,
right, that as well. And I feel like, and as a general, like, as public, and we have this fear of sharks.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, that is something you would maybe put with sharks in a different context, but here we're talking about the act of, you know, cutting off their fins, and that is a gruesome act, is
right.
what you're saying.
Right, because the shark fin traders, they just want the fin, and so they'll cut the fin off, and then they'll dump the rest of the body, the carcass, into, you know, the ocean so that it dies or gets eaten, and it sounds like a very gruesome death.
Yes,
ending,
right, it
even
is.
Even though sharks are... we've been made to feel very scared of sharks and think that they're bad creatures, but mm-hmm. they're not.
Right. I mean, there are shark attacks and so forth, but they don't happen very often. But, I mean, if it happens to you, that is pretty terrible, of course. All right. And then here they have a comparison, okay? They are talking about, well, first they're talking about what they found. And what did they find out first, Albert?
Well, they found out that, you know, sharks help supply over 3,700 jobs, and, you know, compare that to just over 1 million generated by the buying and selling of shark fins nationwide.
Okay, and we also see that sharks produced more than $221 million in revenue, right, in the
right.
state of Florida.
for the state of Florida, and this is opposed to just over 1 million generated from the shark fin trade.
Okay, and so are you surprised by that, Linda?
I am. I didn't know that there was that much revenue from divers wanting to see sharks.
Right, and the revenues, the money that they're making, the money that they're bringing in. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that that many people wanted to go see sharks, but we see that this is support for, you know, keeping sharks alive, right?
Right. I mean, this is also including the fact that people are planning and buying airplane tickets, hotels, equipment, rentals, boats, and stuff like that. It's just all added, and it adds up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and it provides jobs, of course, and so all of this plays a part. And as we see, it's compared to just over $1 million generated by the buying and selling of shark fins, and this is in the United States, these statistics. And so that's a very interesting comparison in this study. And we learn more about the study in the next paragraph, Linda.
Right. It's the first of its kind in the United States to try to calculate what conservationists have long argued about the shark.
Okay, and then a conservationist, of course, a person who is working to protect the environment, right? And so conservationists, you know, they are arguing that, you know, that we should take care of the sharks, right?
Yeah, because, you know, they're in peril, and, you know, it's to put something or someone at risk or in danger of being harmed or destroyed.
All right, many of the fish are imperiled, and they're worth far less on a plate than they are in the water, and that's a nice, short, and sweet way of saying it, right? Maybe not so sweet, but short.
Right. And this might include other fish besides sharks, right, that are in danger, that are imperiled. They might be tasty, you know, to us, but they're worth more alive than dead.
So you don't want to eat fish?
Well, the ones that are endangered.
Okay, I got you. All right. Well, sharks are in trouble, and one of the reasons they are in trouble is
because of their fins, the demand for their fins. You know, you have a long history and perception and myth of how, like, shark fin has these mythical properties that help you out health-wise, and they do all these things.
Okay. And this, of course, is according to Laura Snyder. And so we know, we've known this, I think most people know that, you know, this is harmful to sharks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now we have more support for why they should be alive, why we should try to keep them alive, because they actually help the economy. So that's one good reason. But of course, another good reason is because, you know, if we take care of creation, nature, and so forth, that's part of that. So it's not just about money, but if you need another incentive, this might help.
Right. I feel like this will probably persuade people who are indifferent. I feel like it won't convince people who are on the same boat with, like, oh, shark fin is really good for me health-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like this will help people who are, like, indifferent. It's like, oh, sharks, you know, I never encounter one, I never think about them, I don't go in the ocean, what does it matter to me? Well, it does. It might matter to you or a family member or a neighbor, you know, that works in this industry.
Okay. So they did this study, and they're hoping that this will persuade people, especially those government officials. And so that's what we will talk about next. Let's find out more about that in our last reading for today.
Oceana is hoping the findings help persuade lawmakers to pass a nationwide ban on buying and selling shark fins, a trade centered in Asia but executed globally and blamed, along with longline fishing and overfishing, with driving down shark populations. The U.S. bans shark finning, the process of chopping the fins off sharks and tossing them overboard, still alive, to sink and suffocate or get eaten by predators. Only 11 states prohibit importing and selling fins. Dollars from dives clearly outpace any revenue generated by the fin trade, Snyder said. As long as sharks remain alive in the ocean, she said, divers and their dollars will continue to support local economies.
Okay, Oshana is hoping the findings help persuade lawmakers. Okay, so they've done this study. We talked about this in the beginning. They were attempting to do something. Okay, they want to change the perception, right? And so they hope that lawmakers will pass a ban on buying and selling shark fins. Okay, a nationwide ban.
Right. And this is a trade that's centered in Asia, but executed globally. So although, you know, shark fin soup and eating shark fin is most popular in Asia, shark fin, the buying and selling of shark fins happens globally.
Right, that word executed means it's carried out, all right? So this happens all over the globe. And there's also some other things here that play a part. There's also longline fishing and overfishing, okay? And this all contributes to the problem, right?
Yeah, you know, their food source is being taken away. And also, like, when you do commercial fishing, sometimes, you know, fishermen are trying to aim for one type of fish and they inadvertently catch these sharks. And by the time they realize it and try to put it back, it's been out the water for too long and, you know, it doesn't help.
Okay, and so, you know, what are they going to do about it? Are the lawmakers going to listen? You know, so far they already have some bans, of course. The U.S. bans shark finning, and that is exactly what?
The process of chopping the fins off the sharks and tossing them overboard, usually they're still alive, to sink and suffocate or to get eaten by predators. So this is the gruesome death that we were talking about earlier, that sharks, what happens to sharks when they get their fins cut off.
Okay, so this is illegal in the United States, and so they cut the fins off, and the sharks are actually still alive. They toss them back into the ocean, and they sink, and they suffocate. To suffocate means they die because they don't have enough oxygen.
Right.
And, or maybe they're eaten by, you know, other fish, other predators, right? So, but only 11 states prohibit importing and selling fins. And so that's not very many states.
Right. So the nation bans shark fin, I mean, the actual process of chopping off their fins, but all the entire nation hasn't prohibited the selling and importing of the fins.
Yeah, and so if there's a demand for it, or if, you know, people are buying it, you know, other people will continue doing this gruesome process of catching sharks and finning them or definning them.
But this whole study may get people to think differently, right? Next, we see dollars from dives clearly outpace any revenue generated by the fin trade. And so people might start to think, hey, let's keep the sharks alive. Let's not be involved with cutting off their fins any longer. Let's actually let people enjoy the sharks. You know, people, divers go and they want to see the sharks. There's a big business here. And when it comes to making big change, a lot of times it has to do with money, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah, that's a big motivator.
Right. And so here we have the word outpace. It says dollars from dives clearly outpace any revenue, Albert.
Right. So to outpace is to move or develop faster than someone or something else.
Okay. So continues on. It says, as long as sharks remain alive in the ocean, Snyder said, divers and their dollars will continue to support local economies, okay? So what they're trying to do, of course, is to keep those sharks alive. And so it's something that we can all think about. What is our part that we can play in this?
Well, don't eat shark fin soup.
Okay.
Don't support the shark fin trade.
Okay, that's one way. What else can we do?
I guess when you have your wedding banquet, don't order the shark fin.
Okay, that's something that we can think about, right?
No, but like seriously though, I feel like you can definitely write to you know, your lawmakers. You know, send them, attach this article from Advance Magazine, yeah. or like, you know, advocate for like, hey, you know, there's more to this than just how gruesome the act is itself.
Right.
You know, it's probably going to help our local communities in terms of tourism, which is always, you know, a plus.
Yeah. And there's two things here, right? We want to take care of the earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
We used that term earlier, conservationist. And a conservationist wants to protect the earth, protect the environment from destruction, and that can include animals. Now, you know, we can maybe go overboard. That's not really meant to be a play on words, but we can go overboard with anything. And so, you know, we can protect the earth. Doesn't mean we can't use certain things or do certain things. And where that line is maybe different for every person. But we can see that, you know, if you're cutting off a shark's fin and just throwing it overboard, well, then you're not using it. You're just using the fin, and it's wasteful. So I think that's another point here. How can we conserve? How can we not be wasteful?
Right. And also, we mentioned earlier how, like, they'll suffocate. From what I know is, like, if a shark isn't able to move, it will suffocate. It needs to be able to move through the water to get the oxygen molecules so they can breathe. And, yeah, it's also, it sounds really vicious, you know, just to leave them there like that, because without the fins, they can't navigate or anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk for a moment about sharks in general. You know, a lot of times when you think of a shark, you may be afraid, right? If you're going to the ocean, you think about, oh, a shark might come up, because it happens from time to time.
Yeah, the worst scenario,
right.
I think you could have in the ocean. And they have a really bad reputation that's mainly due to movies, how they're portrayed in
right,
media.
Like Jaws, right?
Exactly. That's probably the most influential movie when it comes to a shark's image. Yeah, so there's a shark in Jaws that was really a great white that was really vicious, that would attack people for the sake of attacking them. But normally in nature, sharks won't attack humans unless they think they are prey. So they might think a human is a seal on their surfboard, you know, because people, they land on the surfboard and then they paddle. So they might look like a seal. And so when a shark bites the person, they realize that it's not a seal, then they will go away. But of course, the person is still injured.
Okay.
And even then, I mean, statistically, it's been shown that you're more likely to be bitten by a person in a city than a shark worldwide.
Really?
Yeah.
Where did that stat come from?
You can look it up.
Any city?
No, I mean, just like one city in the States.
Okay,
I mean,
we
like,
won't mention that city.
Yeah.
We don't want to offend anyone. But supposedly there's this stat out there. So in other words, what you're saying is it's not very likely that you're going to be bitten by a shark.
Right.
And if they do bite you, it was only an accident. So just, you know, forgive the shark. So, but I mean, it is scary to think of that, and it does happen sometimes, but it doesn't happen that often, right? And so I think that's important to remember.
Right. And still with this knowledge, I still have this fear, you know, when if I'm in the ocean, especially if I'm in a really deep part of the ocean, that's something that might come to mind, but I know it's a thought that I just have to put to the back of my head.
Have you guys been to aquariums where you have those exhibits where like these big sharks are in a tank with all these other fish? And I'm always like looking at it, I'm like, they're not out there killing everything in sight, right? There's like dozens and dozens of other fish in that tank, and they're like okay with it. So I feel like, you know, this is just public perception.
So did you get into the tank with it? Is that what you did? Okay, well, that's true. You know, we do see sharks in those situations. So maybe we shouldn't be so afraid, but we just need to be wise, right?
Right. But people are really intrigued by sharks as well. For example, people willingly pay money to go in a cage to be
closer.
To be closer to sharks in the ocean. So they'll be in a cage and then put down in the water, and then there will be sharks all around them.
That's
crazy. To me, that's That's something I don't think I would ever do.
Yeah, I don't think I would do that. I don't like really going underwater anyway, so I don't want to go in a cage with sharks all around me. Sorry. Maybe, you know, they'll bite through the cage, or the cage will, like, accidentally, something will, you know, fall apart or break, and then, I don't know. There's just too much in my imagination there, too much fear, I think, for me to do that. But, you know, I'll watch it on TV.
I guess that's why people also are appealed by that, because of the fear and because of the risk and the thrill of mm-hmm. being in that situation.
Yeah, right. It is, you know, an adrenaline rush, right?
Yeah, we usually categorize those people as, like, adrenaline junkies mm-hmm. or thrill seekers, you know,
right.
people who go skydiving.
Ooh, yeah. I would do that before I would go.
Wait. How come? Why?
Because it sounds like a lot of fun.
I'd rather be in a cage.
Oh, wow. Well, you can be in a cage and I'll go skydiving.
All right.
Well, thank you for joining us here for day two of our Newsworthy Clips article. And we have one more day, so we hope that you will join us tomorrow as we end our Newsworthy Clips article. Until then, this is Brandon,
Linda,
and Albert
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.